Call your attention tonight to the first epistle of Peter, 5th chapter, first 11 verses. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers not by constraint but willingly, not for monetary gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Truly, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. After you have suffered for a while, who wants to suffer? Not any of us. Yet the reality of life is that sooner or later, everybody knows suffering of one kind or another. There is no discrimination. Young or old, male or female, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, all who suffer at some time will suffer sometime in their life. And in the 10th verse here, 1 Peter 5, he says, after you have suffered a little while, something wonderful is going to happen to you. After you have suffered a little while, God, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. And I want to look at these in turn, but first consider to what you're called. He said you're called to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus. You're called to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus. That's your calling. All of us, think of it. We're called to His eternal glory in Christ. We're not to live on some low earthly plane of existence. We are built for the heights, and to that goal we are moving. This glorious goal is brighter than a dozen suns. But the way sometimes is dark, through dark valleys that have to be crossed, and black clouds will at times hang over us. And soon or late, fierce storms will break upon us. Yet all the while God's grace is sufficient. All the while, His glory keeps beckoning us on. All the while, God keeps saying, I am your God. I love you. I call you and love you with grace and glory. I'm your guide and your gold. I am your hunger and I'm your food. I'm your thirst and I'm your drink. God Himself is all that we need. And I honestly struggle with this. I have lately with the verse in Wesley's great hymn when he said, Thou, Christ, art all I want. But that's all we need for life. God will provide everything that we need and give us life and life abundantly. If we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and ever remember that we're journeying to the heights, We are born and built to the scale of eternity. We are called to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus. Keep this ever in mind as you have to walk through dark valleys and troublesome ways. For after you've suffered a while, God will make you perfect. Or, if you would, He'll make you whole. The Greek word is used to describe what happens when a torn net was mended. When a dislocated bone was properly set, it means to supply that which is missing, to mend that which is broken, to restore that part which is lacking. So when suffering becomes our lot, we need to accept it as coming from the hand of our Father. We accept it in humility and trust and love. And as everywhere else, Jesus is our example here. When the cross was before Him, He said, "The cup which my Father gives me, shall I not drink it?" He wouldn't accept it from anybody's hand except the Father's. And we need to accept the suffering is ours from the Father's hand. For after we have suffered a while, God will use the suffering to add to our character, to strengthen any weakness in our lives, to add the greatness which at that point was not there. I hesitate to tell this, but when I was in seminary, my preaching professor one day said, "Some of you young men will never have the close relationship that you ought to have with God until you lose that which is most precious to you." And there's a real truth in that. But when we lose things out here, even people out here, we find out that God is truly all-sufficient. And He's all we need. Sir Edward Elgar once listened to a young girl as she sang one of the solos from his own works. She had a voice of exceptional purity, clarity, and range. She was almost perfect in her techniques, which made light of the difficult parts of the solo. And when she'd finished singing, Sir Edward said, "She will be really great when something happens to break her heart." After you've suffered. Another person told her how his mother lost her favorite son. And then he said, "That is where my mother got her soft eyes. And that's why other mothers ran to her when they lost a child." Through suffering, God had been able to bring to her a point of perfection that no easy way could have ever brought. A little book, a man named Alexander Irvin wrote about his mother. He called it The Chimney Corner. No, he called it Love Is Enough. But his mother, a little Irish lady, lived in a little shanty in Ireland and in a smoky chimney corner. He said his mother there, skilled in the anatomy of misfortune, brought both light and healing to those in need. Think about it. Skilled in the anatomy of misfortune. But out of that, she understood the pain and the heartache and the hurt of others. And she brought both light and healing to them. After we've suffered a little while, if we will let Him, God will use the suffering to make us perfect. Don't waste the suffering. Don't waste the pain. Let God use it to make you perfect. Suffering alone adds the grace notes to life. But also through suffering, God will establish you. God will establish you. William Barclay said, "The Greek word means to make firm and solid as granite." Years I was in seminary, I watched with interest as a new bank building was being built there in Atlanta. It was 29 stories high. And while the construction was going on, people marveled that a new floor
was completed every week. But most of the people didn't know that before the first floor was built, the laborers worked for 15 months laying the foundation. After the foundation was laid, after 15 months, then a story could be built every week. But they wanted that solid foundation, as firm as granite. They want a foundation that would not fail. Sometimes you and I may marvel at the rock-like character of someone. They always seem to be alive to their fingertips and victorious in all situations. They are established. What we do not know many times is that this person has passed through suffering of both body and sorrow of heart. And after suffering for a while, God has established them with a solidarity of character which never would have been gained anywhere else. When a person is a young Christian, when they have not suffered, there are many things about which they may say, I believe or I think. Only after a person has suffered for a while can they say with Paul, I know. As he said to Timothy, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he can keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So after you've suffered a while, God will make you perfect. He will establish you. God will also strengthen you. The word used here means to be filled with strength. Strength that comes from God. As one has come through pain and sorrow and disappointment and loss, strength that has enabled a person to suffer and come forth to serve with a faith more vibrant and alive than ever before. It's interesting to me that as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he in one case listed all the suffering that he'd gone through. You remember the passage he told of being whipped 5 times with a lash. He told of being beaten with rods 3 times. He told of being stoned and left for dead, of being shipwrecked 3 times. But a few years later, when he wrote the little letter to the church at Philippi, some 5 or 10 years later, he was in prison. And though he was in prison, he says little about suffering. But he talks about pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says to Philippi, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And he goes on to say there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. After you've suffered a while, God will perfect, establish, strengthen, and finally, God will settle you. It's only when we have to meet sorrow and suffering that we're driven down to the very bedrock of our faith. It is then that we discover the things which cannot be shaken. It's then that we see that things that are important and the things that are trivial. When life tumbles in, we find the bedrock of our faith. And we discover that many things that we considered important are merely decorations. And we discover what's the basic essentials and the foundation for our lives. It's then we come to realize perhaps how much we spent on the trivial. There's a story that came out of the sinking of the great ship Titanic. You know the story. But the story that was told was of a certain woman who had been granted a place on a lifeboat. Very limited lifeboats, you remember. So many people died. But after she'd been assured of a place on a lifeboat, she asked if she might go back to her stateroom for a moment. And they told her she had 3 minutes. She could go and come. So she rushed off. She went through the saloon with money and diamonds and stuff scattered around on the floor. And some who snatched at their jewelry spilt it as they ran. And in her stateroom, the woman saw her treasures waiting to be picked up. She saw them, but she took none of them. Snatching at three oranges, she knew to be there. She rushed back and took her seat on the light bulb. An hour before, she wouldn't have given the smallest of her jewels for a crate of oranges. But death boarded the Titanic, and her jewels were not worth anything anymore. Values were transformed. Three oranges were worth more than diamonds. It's in the trials of life that we discover the great and eternal truths on which life is founded and which we cannot do without. After you've suffered a little while, God will make you perfect. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. And just sort of in closing, we know that some people suffer and never come to this. Rather, when suffering comes, they become angry. They become bitter. They become resentful. And in despair, often lose any faith that they might have had. And the suffering is wasted. But if we will accept in faith, trust, and love, whatever comes our way as from the Father's hands, sure that He will never cause His child a needless tear, then we can be assured that He who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, strengthen, establish, and settle you. Thanks be to God. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You call us to eternal glory in Christ Jesus. And You can take the most severe suffering of our lives and use it. Use it for our good and Your glory. Thank You, Father. Thank You. Thank You that we can know whom we believe. May we live that faith each day. And we pray in Jesus' name.